All right, I ask you to turn your Bible tonight to John's Gospel, chapter 21. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 21. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. I want you to listen carefully to this scripture this evening. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We go also with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Lord, we ask you tonight that you might bless in our service. We thank you for these that have come this way. We ask you tonight you might speak to all of our hearts and give us a closer walk with you. And Lord, we pray tonight that these that have lost loved ones this week, Lord, you can reach down and comfort them with your spirit. We pray, Lord, for all that's on our prayer list tonight, you might meet every need of every heart. Lord, tonight as we go forth now, we pray that we as a church might be a bright and shining light for the Lord Jesus Christ in this dark world. In his wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. I heard about three men who were sentenced to death and they were going to be guillotined. And so they brought the first guy out and laid his head down and they tripped the guillotine. It didn't work. So they said, Well, the Lord must have intervened. We were going to have to let you go. Well, they worked a while and brought the second guy out and put him down. And sure enough, it didn't work again. They said, Well, the Lord's intervened. You can go. And they brought the third guy out and put him down. He said, Hey, I say, what's the matter with this thing? You know, sometimes we have to figure out what the problem is before we can fix it. We find here some disciples tonight that had a failure. Verse number 3, the Bible says that night they caught nothing. They failed in their endeavor. And why did they fail tonight? Well, first of all, I want you to understand that these men were not recreational fishing. You know, sometimes today we go and enjoy a time of relaxation when we can get away from the stress and the pressures of this world and maybe sit on a creek bank or in a boat somewhere and just kind of relax and have a good time fishing and enjoying. This past summer, I got to take my grandchildren over to my brother-in-law's catfish lake and played with them there and let them catch some fish. And it was just an enjoyable time when we didn't have to face the stress and the pressures and just had a good time there with the grandchildren. But these were not recreational fishermen. They weren't recreational fishing. These men were professional fishermen. That's the way they made their living before they had met the Lord. Peter, of course, is known as the big fisherman. And so we find tonight that these men were not going out to simply relieve a little stress and pressure as we usually think so. But these men were actually saying, I believe tonight that, you know, Jesus is dead. He's no longer here to lead us. We have no one to follow. We have no message. We have no mission. We've wasted 3 years of our life and we might as well go back to what we were doing before and get back to fishing. You see, they failed. Why did they fail? Well, I believe, first of all, because tonight, and I think this applies to all of us many times, is that They followed human wisdom instead of supernatural faith. You see, human wisdom usually sounds pretty good, doesn't it? We find tonight that we find that logic and human wisdom sometimes can make us stop and think and say, well, that sounds good. That's attractive tonight. That's the reason a lot of people fall for many of the things we find in our world tonight, that they've used human wisdom instead of supernatural faith. Instead of believing God, they believe man. You see, I'm sure they were sitting around and during this time, and they said, you know, we've got families. We know Peter had a wife because he had a mother-in-law. And we've got families. We've got needs. And, you know, we have to eat. We have to have something to eat. And we have to have some shelter from the elements. And, you know, we're going to have to leave what we've been doing because we can no longer depend upon Jesus. He's gone. He's not with us anymore. And so we're not going to have anything to eat or any kind of shelter. We don't have any mission or message anymore for this world. That sounds pretty logical when you look that Jesus had been crucified and buried. Now, they had seen him, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, but, you know, I'm sure that as they sat around and discussed all of this, that now human wisdom was sounding pretty logical to most of them. You see, faith sometimes sounds foolish to men. When we begin to follow the Lord and begin to trust in His Word and begin to trust in His guidance and His direction, it'll sometimes sound very foolish to men. Many years ago, when I worked at Kerr-McGee Chemical Corporation, worked there for several years, and the Lord called me to become a pastor, to become a preacher. And as I left Kerr-McGee, people thought I was crazy, leaving a good job with a lot of benefits. And, you know, sometimes I look back, and every once in a while you have that thought, well, did I mess up? But I know I didn't. Because, you see, I prayed, and God had directed me, and God had led me, and I left there tonight. And I believe it was the divine guidance of God. But a lot of people thought that was crazy. That was foolish. You know, sometimes when we begin to follow the Lord and we begin to do things God's way, people think that's foolish tonight. But you know what we have to really do? What we have to really make up our mind to do sometimes is just stand on the promises of God. You see, these disciples had, Jesus had already promised them many things. He had promised them he'd never leave them nor forsake them. He had promised them that he wouldn't leave them orphanless, that he would send the Holy Spirit. He had appeared to them after his resurrection, and yet tonight they were afraid to stand on God's promises this evening. And so they resorted to their old way of life and went back to find something that they had missed. But you know, this morning this afternoon, we need to think about you and I at times. Maybe we do that too. Sometimes we want to follow human wisdom, and we're living in a day and age, and I find that the church, it sometimes seems to me, follows human wisdom more than it does the divine faith of God. I'm kind of like the old fellow said a long time ago. He said, you know, when you look around and you see all the things that's going on, and you begin to wonder. But he said, then I'll read in the Bible that the way the Lord said to conduct and win souls to the Lord tonight, and for the church to be built was through the preaching and the praying and the praising of God. And you know, that's still true this evening. There's a song that I haven't heard in a long time. It was entitled, He Can Do It Again. And it says, if the Lord has ever blessed your soul, He can do it again. If the Lord's ever cleansed and made you whole, He can do it again. If He's ever made a way for you, He can do it again. If God has ever brought you through, He can do it again. You see, these disciples do what many of us do. They forgot what the Lord had done in the past. Can you imagine? And I read about these people, and it seems to me that I want to really be critical of them. I really want to criticize them. I mean, they'd been there and saw all the miracles of the Lord. They'd been there when he raised Lazarus from the dead. They'd been there when he raised the widow of Nain's son. They were there when he walked upon the water. They were there when he opened the eyes of the blind and opened the ears of the deaf and opened the mouth of the dumb. They were there when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. They had seen all the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000. They had seen and been there with him all during his ministry and saw the miracles that he had performed. But somehow they forgot that. And so as much as I'd like to criticize them tonight, I really can't, because, you know, I read in the pages of God's Word, and I have to believe those miracles. So in a sense, I had to be there too, didn't I? And you see, sometimes we forget what God has done in the past. We forget how God has blessed us in the past. I sometimes forget how good the Lord has been to me tonight. See, they had saw and experienced all of these things, yet tonight their faith was very weak. But how many tonight are sometimes the same way? We've forgotten the time we stopped and prayed and God brought a great blessing in our life. Maybe he delivered someone from a sickness. Maybe he relieved a financial need. Maybe it was some family problem. Whatever it might have been tonight, we've forgotten that many times. And we've forgotten how good God has been to us. And our faith has grown weak tonight, as these disciples had. Sometimes the things that we're doing in life, it seems like are failing, and I wonder sometimes, is it because we sometimes follow human wisdom instead of divine faith? That we tonight forget what God has done for us in the past and understand that he can still do it again. I'm glad that he can still do it again, amen?
Amen.
Yeah. What a great God we serve tonight, but here were some disciples and they said, hey, we're going fishing. Peter. And so tonight, the second thing I believe that they did that we need to look at is they acted impulsively instead of prayerfully. You see, they did not even consult the Lord about their dilemma. Now, here were men that had been with Jesus. They had saw him pray. They had saw him talk to the Lord tonight. They heard him pray every day of his life, I'm sure. They heard him pray so much that they came to him on an occasion and said, Lord, teach us to pray. But they didn't pray. Peter just said, I'm going fishing. He didn't say, I've consulted with the Lord. And the Lord said, well, Jesus is gone. You might as well go back to fishing, Peter. Peter just said, I'm going fishing. I'm getting hungry, folks. I got to go fishing. So what did these disciples do? Listen to what it says in verse 3. Simon Peter saith them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the rest of them said, let us get packed. I mean, really, that's what they said, wasn't it? You know, sometimes we need to realize that acting impulsively is not the best thing for us to do. We need to consult the Lord. And just because somebody else is doing it, as my grandma always says, doesn't mean we got to do it too. You know, she always said, everybody else jumped out of a tree with you too, and I got whipped a couple of times because I said, well, according to how high they was, but you think about this tonight. Here was a group of disciples who had been with Jesus, and Jesus would pray about God directing him every day of his life. But instead of praying, Peter said, I'm going fishing. They said, well, we go in too. You know, sometimes we need to be patient. Sometimes we have to be cautious. Sometimes people I've been criticized a few times in my life for being patient and cautious, but I'll be honest with you tonight. I always want to make sure I'm trying to do what the Lord wants me to do. And to be fair with you, I'm not going to tell you I'm perfect, because certainly we're not. And sometimes even maybe we fail even then. But I want to tell you, you'll not fail near as much if you'll take time to talk to the Lord about it and let God have time to respond and answer your prayer. Because He will do that tonight, I'll assure you of that. You see, tonight if we begin to pray about everything, you think of how few failures there would be, probably in nearly all the rest of them, wouldn't it? We see a lot of times when we see a lot of moral failure. I saw quite a bit of that in different aspects of different people's lives just this past year, even in our newspaper, among school teachers and others this evening. Moral failure. You think about David and Bathsheba. When David saw Bathsheba bathing and he was walking on the housetop. And I can assure you of this tonight. If you're ever tempted to commit adultery or fornication, if you'll take time and say, God, you want me to do this, you'll get your answer real quick. And if you'll follow what God said, that ended that moral failure, didn't it? Now you think about that tonight. You know, I don't believe anybody that ever has a moral failure stopped and asked God, do you want me to do this? If you'll take time, I believe God will direct you. But most people just act impulsively, don't they? They just jump into it right quick, and then it swamps them over, and the devil is after them right then. Ethical failure, you know. If you're ever tempted to take something from Walmart, say, Lord, you want me to steal this? You think the Lord's going to tell you to steal it? No. What I'm saying to you tonight is, if we would prayerfully ask God what we need to do in every aspect of our life, it'd end most of our failures, wouldn't it, tonight? Spiritual failures, you know. Like I told, I was invited one time to preach to a church, and it was pretty well divided. Had a lot of problems. And I just simply, all I know to tell them was this very simple thing. If you'll pray, God will bring you together. And if you'll pray what God wants you to do, He'll tell every one of you what He wants to do. And it won't be telling this one to do one thing and this one to do another thing in the church. If you want to end the church split, just get together and pray about it. Any kind of spiritual failure tonight, we don't need to act impulsively. We need to come and ask the Lord what we need to do tonight. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Well, I'm going to. Time we just have to wait on the Lord. They didn't want to wait. They were in a hurry. And then lastly, they did not recognize the Lord. And that's kind of amazing when you read that. Look at verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now that's kind of a shock to me. They did not recognize Jesus. Now you think about what the scriptures say there. They didn't know it was the Lord. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that these people didn't even know the Lord? Here was His disciples. They had spent day after day after day and night after night with Him. They'd sat with Him while He taught. They'd been there, as I said, when He performed the miracles. They had seen Him after His resurrection. They had handled Him, as John said, of the Word of Life. And yet here they were and did not know the Lord. And I read that and I think, boy, how can this be? You see, they had grown spiritually blind and deaf. The next verse said, Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered Him, no. They didn't even recognize His voice. You know, I can recognize most people's voice after you've talked to them a short period of time. always said that the two people in my life that if you put them out yonder in the parking lot, me on the other side of the building, if I could hear them, then I'll guarantee you I could tell who they were would have been Eugene Digby and Homer Cantrell. They had a unique way of talking, didn't they? But can you imagine being with somebody for this period of time and not even recognizing their voice, not recognizing their face? Sometimes, you know, I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I think what the Lord is teaching us here that sometimes we grow cold under the Lord. He doesn't mean very much to us anymore. You see, we need to get close to Jesus tonight and we need to study His Word. We need to read His Scripture. That's the way we'll recognize His words. That's the way we'll recognize Jesus. How many of us tonight grow cold on God? When you grow cold on the Lord, you're going to fail. I'll assure you that tonight. Now, I've heard of people leaving the church over different issues tonight and not going to church anywhere. And I thought, now, isn't that amazing? How are you going to listen to the Lord tonight? You see, it's like embers in a fire. You roll a chunk of that fire out and leave it over here by itself, it won't be long. It'll grow cold. These disciples grow cold on the Lord. They didn't even recognize His word tonight. You see, sometimes I'm afraid that's the way we are. We don't really hear the voice of God because we've grown so cold to the Lord tonight. And any time you do that, you're destined to fail. But you know, as you read through the rest of this chapter, and I'm not going to go through the entire chapter, but as you read through the rest of this chapter, you find tonight that they came back to the Lord. And the Lord's always gracious to receive those even when we fail. And that failure does not have to be final. And that you can still draw close to God and have fellowship with Him and once again have a mission and a message in life. And go forth with a great purpose tonight to serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord's here tonight. If we've grown cold on Him, if we've tonight failed to follow Him in faith, if we've forgotten what He's done for us, He's here to restore us tonight and give us back what we need. What a gracious God He is this evening. Anatomy of a failure. But thank God there's a remedy for a failure, and that's to come back to Jesus tonight. When you come back to Jesus, He'll warm your heart, strengthen your faith, and bring you back into the fold tonight. What a wonderful Savior we serve this evening. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Marvin, come. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time we're together. We ask You to take this very simple message. Use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In His blessed holy name I pray. Amen.